What is up, guys? Welcome to episode number 140 of Beef's Beef. Sorry, I've been away for a bit. Had to take care of some stuff. I actually picked up a few sponsors from the last episode that will be actually joining the podcast the next episode. But I have a great episode for you guys today. It's a different one than I've done before, so bear with me because I haven't really done anything like this before. I'm going to be somewhat of a moderator for a panel discussion. So before we get to that, I want to let you guys know today's podcast is sponsored by our friend Crystal Lackey at Stockton Mortgage. Hit up Crystal for all of your refinancing or your home loan needs. She can get you hooked up. You can reach Crystal at 502-615-0743. Again, it's Crystal Lackey at Stockton Mortgage, 502-615-0743. Stockton Mortgage is an equal housing lender. MLS number 8259, Crystal Lackey, MLS number 1735979. Now, like I said, I am going to have a panel discussion on here. I know of at least two of them that I will be, go ahead and let you know. We may have three. One of them, returning guest, Mr. Richard Gatewood, head coach of Aspire Prep School. And then we have the high school beat writer for the Courier-Journal, Mr. Jason Frakes. Again, we will be discussing some of the KHSAA bylaws, what our thoughts are on them, what our thoughts on the KHSAA upholding one in particular in Bylaw 9. But without further ado, hope you guys enjoy. All right, guys, I'm here with Jason Frakes and Richard Gatewood. I'll go ahead and let you guys introduce yourself, kind of let everyone know what you guys do.
Yeah, I'm Jason Frakes. I cover high school sports at the Courier-Journal newspaper in Louisville.
Coach Richard Gatewood, the head coach of the postgraduate program at Aspire Basketball Academy.
Nice. Thanks for joining me today, guys. I know it's been weird. We've been trying to get it set up for the past couple of weeks. But let's just jump right into it. A couple weeks ago, the KHSAA recommended there'd be no change to their Bylaw 9, which, long story short, includes – or basically says if a player starts the school year, they're not allowed to pretty much be in any camps or any AAU teams once the school year starts. Is that pretty much correct?
For the most part, yeah.
Okay. So, Jason, you tweeted it out and said that there was no change. Wasn't any decision of yours, but you did kind of back it up. You kind of said that you kind of agreed with it. Can you kind of give your point of view on what your thoughts are on Bylaw 9 and what made you say that you kind of agree with what they were doing?
Well, I guess it helps to understand the history of it. And my understanding of why Bylaw 9 exists are twofold. One, I think it was born out of a mistrust whenever it came around of, and this is the exact quote from the bylaw, exploitation by those who seek to capitalize on their skill and or reputation. So we can argue that point until we're blue in the face probably. And I think probably that situation has changed quite a bit. But I think the thing that probably gets lost in it is the whole football basketball dynamic. And I think that was one of the main reasons, because I think what they were finding or they're worried about were basketball coaches in August and September maybe requiring you to play on a non-school team and not allowing you the opportunity to play football. And I think the KHSAA has this rule to allow kids an opportunity to play more than one sport and take that pressure off of them of having to make that decision.
All right, Richard, what do you think?
I mean, I don't like the rule. I think, Jason, I agree with Jason on the fact that you shouldn't be able to go to a camp if you're there's our five-star players that are in five stars in football and basketball. But I agree, if you're playing football, can't go to any camps, can't play any AAU. Now, on the basketball side of it, if you're strictly basketball, I don't think it's a good rule. Just simple fact, because years ago, we used to have the John Lucas camp here in Louisville, and every now and then we had one or two kids that technically could get invited to that and play in it, and we even hosted it for a couple of years, and because of that bylaw, they couldn't participate. You know, so stuff like that. And yes, there's not college coaches there, but you're talking about top scouts in the country, where if you go there and you play well, and this is the nature of the business, scouts talk to college coaches, you can get an offer just off a scout, you know, and I think this is where Kentucky's kind of behind as far as that regards. I mean, I went through it with David Sloan at Taylor County. He got invited for the USA basketball thing. Well, when I contacted the KHSA to let them know that, hey, we were participating in this, I can't remember the lady or the gentleman who I talked to, they didn't realize that there was another bylaw in it specifically saying that David could participate in this. Didn't even know it. And I even had to, like, blow it up, highlight it, and send it. I'm like, no, it is in your bylaw. He can participate in this because it's USA basketball, right. You know. So, you know, little stuff like that. Now, you know, I understand the grudge between AAU and high school coaches, but it all comes down to relationships. It's different today than it was 20 years ago. It's different today than it was 10 years ago. I don't think Jason can agree with me on that, you know. But with everything going on, I don't think they're doing right because, man, there might not be a high school season. Let's just be real honest because, you know, there's different cases right now where a second grader in Georgia tested positive and they had to quarantine the whole second grade. And then, you know, there's other cases in other states. My biggest thing is because you have seniors who missed out last year, you know, not only for spring sports, but you had some who didn't get to go to Rupp Arena and experience that. And then you have some who were unsigned, who are still unsigned, who really couldn't go to these unsigned senior camps, who couldn't really play another spring AAU because of COVID. If this continues on, so basically you're going to make kids choose. And I'm going to tell you right now, kids are going to choose AAU. If you say no basketball till January or February, but even if they allow college coaches out for like two live periods in the fall, they're going to choose AAU. Now, do I agree with that? Yes and no. But at the same time, if it's a senior who's trying to get seen, you know, you can't blame them on that aspect of it. And, you know, Kentucky is the only state really where you can't do that. Now, if you're a dual sport athlete, I completely agree with the rule. Should not be able to do that. But at the same time, I think by the time a kid's a junior or senior, he knows he's not going to play football. So if he gets invited to a big time camp, even if it's not, you know, a elite camp at a college, I think it's a silly rule that they should be able to participate in it at the end of the day.
Let me ask you a question here, Richard. So from the sounds of it, are you saying that you feel like this is a bylaw that should be changed forever, or it should be kind of retracted for this year because of the extenuating circumstances? Or that's the question. Is it something that
I think it should be changed. Just simple fact, because college coaches are not coming to Kentucky to see kids. And it's no knock on Kentucky. The only tournaments they really come to is King of the Bluegrass, Marshall County Hoop Fest, or the state tournament if they have time, because you only play on Tuesday, Friday, or Saturday. They don't have the luxury of a prep school where we can play on a Sunday. We can host the Martin Luther King Holiday Classic, which a lot of schools do around the country, celebrating Martin Luther King, and they have these big tournaments. Well, Jefferson County doesn't do that. Well, guess what? Those 2 days, that Sunday and Monday, is huge for college coaches to come see kids. So, I mean, that's another story, but I completely agree on it because here's the thing. AAU, what I'm getting to, AAU controls basketball as far as kids being seen. In Kentucky, AAU has helped so many kids in Kentucky in the last 10 years, it's not even funny. I mean, David Sloan went from having no offers to having multiple offers just off one summer of AAU. Now, Quentin Gooden was the same way. What if AAU falls into the fall? So you're trying to tell me that and they let college coaches come out one weekend. Why would you not allow them to play? You know what I'm saying? If they're not football players. So that's the problem I have with it. Now, you do have some camps like Pangos and some other elite camps that they Kentucky kids that are good enough to get invited to in the fall, but they can't because of this rule. If they're not a football player, they 100% should be able to go to the camp.
I would agree with that. And the more I studied it, I did sort of wonder if there's some compromise there as far as when school starts, that period between when school starts, whenever it is, in a normal year, yeah, in August, until high school basketball practice starts in the middle of October. Now, I wonder why a kid who doesn't play football, why a kid doesn't have that period at least.
I completely agree.
Travel these of it. Now, I think the KHSAA, in serving its high school basketball coaches, probably wants to protect them a little bit and protect those resources. And so I see why maybe they say, okay, once practice starts October 15th, you know, you're with your high school team. Now, yeah. I honestly don't understand why between the start of school in August and October 15th, why maybe a kid probably couldn't go participate in those things.
And I feel
if
like
he's not going to play football.
Yeah, I feel like that's also something that needs to be set in stone too, instead of just saying the start of school. Something that I saw, so many people start school on so many different dates. So you're allowing one kid to still play where you're not allowing another. Set a certain date. And if it's the October 15th practice date, and you, that's the adjustment maybe they make for this rule, then that's fine. But I feel like there is should be a certain date set in stone, instead of just saying, yeah, it just should be the start of school.
I mean, because, you know, if you start school August 15th, say, and you go to – that's two more months of, you know – But I think the KHSAA in that situation would argue, well, if they have that opportunity, if a coach puts pressure on that kid to play AU basketball, then he's not really going to have a chance to play football. But I think there are enough exceptions to that now for kids who just aren't going to play football that maybe you do give them that opportunity.
Completely agree. I mean, I went through it at Taylor County with Quentin Gooden. He was a heck of a football player all through middle school, and he gave it up when he got into high school. Senior year came around, football coach trying to, you know, superintendent's trying to put a little pressure on him getting to play because, I mean, he's a heck of an athlete. And we're like, no, we've got too much invested, you know. Yeah. So kids like that obviously are not going to. You know, I completely agree with you. From August 15th to October 15th, and here's the thing. It's not like they're going to miss high school workouts. The tournaments are on the weekends. Yeah. And not every AAU program practices during the week. Now, some of them do. Some of them don't. But I think majority of them is, why would you not want your kid to work out with your high school program during the week and then go on the weekend and play against elite talent where they're going to get better? Yes, I understand the knock on AAU. It can be like pickup ball every now and then. Yeah. But high-level AAU is not like that. You know, I've been involved with off and on with the Manimal Elite program for years. And, you know, when you get to the shoe company, and then there's some local teams also that are very good, well-coached, like the Louisville Prospects and a couple other programs that are not – shoe company teams that actually coach their kids up, you know, and you're playing against this elite talent on the weekends. Why would you not want that? You know, yeah. And then they could say, oh, they'll get hurt. Well, you can get hurt by just stepping on the floor anytime, you know? So.
Yeah. I guess the question I'd have is sort of the devil's advocate to all this would be, and I think Richard, you, if you don't mind me asking Brandon, asking a question is.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, during the summer, when these kids do have all of these AAU possibilities, there are no restrictions. How much more are they missing out on because of this rule? I mean, I understand that AAU coaches would probably like to have as much opportunity with these kids as they can get. But my question is, are they really missing out on a lot? Because, I mean, they're getting the entire summer to get exposed. How much more are they missing out on?
It's only the kind of top elite talent. You know, where they'll have some of these individual camps that are cross country in California, New York, Florida, and, you know, they'll have some of these Crossroads Elite camp for younger kids. So I wouldn't say it's everybody, but I mean, some of your better players are kind of missing out. I mean, when you have John Lucas camp, you know, in your backyard, you know, it was like 10 years ago, I think, and you've got every top player in the country there and then every top scout. And you got guys like Quint Snyder and Ray Spalding and all these good players, Keelan Martin, who can't get invited, like they're missing out, you know. So yeah. I agree with you, but I think it would change because if they do allow that, you would have some AAU programs that would play in that time. But nobody really does because, you know, the rule.
So the question I think he's asking is how many games, like how much actual gameplay are they missing by not having that? I mean, is it a full, like, couple months, or is it just
I think it's a month. It's a couple weekends, you know, so.
Yeah. I think it's worth noting Ray Spalding and Keelan Martin are both in the NBA, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe it didn't hurt them.
No, but at the time, I bet you if you talk to their parents and, you know, the guys who trained them growing up, they're going to be like, 1,000%, we want those guys, you know. Yeah. It's more the fact where I don't agree with it with the COVID stuff. You know, if this stuff continues on, yeah. You know, with stuff happening in baseball and then, you know, all the different people that's getting it, me and you both know they're just going to shut it down, you know. Yeah. And yeah. AAU doesn't have rules, you know, so.
And I think – if you've listened to the Board of Control meetings, I think Julian Tackett has even said, you know, this is a rule we're going to have to reconsider if we have to shut down, you know. And I think there, as far as the exceptions, as far as camps go, there is an exception during the year for a one-day camp that kids can go to these exposure camps. And Julian Tackett even admitted, people don't know that part of the rule. He said, we have to do a better job of letting people know that there are exceptions to this. And it kind of like what you said with the USA basketball exception, that exception exists as well. And apparently maybe their own staff didn't know it.
I think the rule, and this is the last thing, I think the rule came into fact, and I could be wrong, but I think local back in the 80s and the 90s, the reason why this rule became is because you could have an AAU team, or like you could say, you could call Louisville something. It could be your high school team. And nobody on your high school staff could coach them, but they could have a parent or somebody who was not paid on staff coach them and play all through the fall. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that was one of the reasons why they put the rule in effect, because certain programs could afford to play or play in a league somewhere across the river or wherever it may be. And they thought they were gaming, you know,
so essentially they were getting more practice than other teams because they just hired another person. So
I've heard that exact story as well. That is very much a part of it.
So I guess you kind of just answered it. I'll ask it, you know, out front. Do you think that there will for sure be an adjustment to this rule if the pandemic does shut things down?
I do. I think it's already on the radar that, you know, and I think, you know, they're looking to see when Division I coaches are going to be able to go out and recruit again. I think they're waiting on that decision. I think the recruiting restriction, I think they've already said through August. So there aren't Division I coaches at these events anyway. But the flip side of that is I think there probably are lower level division coaches and NAIA coaches. So maybe they're already sort of missing out on those opportunities. But I think it's just definitely something that's on their radar. And if they end up having to cancel the season, that they're going to have to – they realize they're going to have to make an adjustment to this.
So I guess I'll start with both – or I'll start with Jason here. What do you think with this rule, though? What do you think are the biggest setbacks or advantages, I guess you would say, with Bylaw 9?
Well, I think the advantage is – my understanding is a kid doesn't feel the pressure to have to make that choice. If he really wants to play football – in the example Richard gave, say a high school coach put together a team that would play in August and September, a basketball coach.
Yeah.
If he put that together, that kid is going to feel pressure to play for that team, and maybe he wants to play football. Now, granted, it's not every kid. I realize that. But say it's 100 kids in the state, that helps alleviate that pressure. Now, if you measure those 100 kids versus maybe 7 or 8 kids who aren't getting the exposure they would normally get, well, I think the kid just away can make the argument of we're helping more kids than we're hurting with this rule. So that's one side to it. Now, the flip side is, you know, probably the negative is those kids who don't want to play football could be getting more exposure playing basketball. And I see that side of it as well.
What would you say is the biggest disadvantages or advantage, Richard?
I think he hit it on the head. You know, I had the opportunity back in 2011 to coach to Michael Jackson and Daniel Ross at J-Town when I was an assistant. Both were high-level Division I football players, but both were very talented basketball players. And there's been other kids like that, Devontae Parker, James Quick. You know, I know I'm missing a couple, but, you know, for instance, you look at them, and you say, all right, well, they want to. They're obviously going to play football at the next level, but then you throw in that rule, and they love basketball. So then you kind of get into that aspect that they feel the pressure of them needing to play for this team. They're going to fall behind. But I just think the rule needs to be, if you don't play football, or say you decide to play football and then you quit, you can't do all this other stuff and do basketball, or you have to sit out so many games. I mean, I think there's a way to kind of alter the rule and get around it a little bit, because I know for a fact that there's been some kids that would want to play in some events in Kentucky this past year that AAU kind of ran a little long this past summer for the 2019 class, 2020 class, and they couldn't play because it was running into the high school. So, you know, some schools were starting early than others, so they couldn't play, you know. So I agree with Jason. I think if you don't play football, I think August 15th to October 15th, you should be able to do whatever you want. Go whatever camp you want to and try to get better.
So it's also odd to me that this only pertains, I guess it's just because of the time frame of when the sports start, that it only pertains to basketball and football. Do you think that's why it is? It's just because that's when the biggest thing? Because, I mean, what happens if a kid's playing travel baseball? Does this still pertain to that kid as far as him wanting to play football?
It's just a basketball and football rule. And I think that goes back to, you know, I think there's two different arguments here. I think we kind of look at it from an AAU high school perspective. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just as much a football basketball perspective, because as long as I've been covering high school sports, and I think it's gotten better, but football and basketball coaches don't get along because of a lot of these sorts of arguments. So I think that is as much of a reason for this rule as anything.
So I did see one person on Twitter respond to you and say that they felt like this was one of the reasons why the talent in Kentucky is so far behind. I mean, just in recent knowledge, I mean, you can think of guys like D'Angelo Russell, or even go back to Rajon Rondo, of players that are transferring out to play for bigger programs. Would you say that this has something to do with it? And if you don't think that it is, what would you say is the biggest contributing factor to why the talent seems to be, I mean, not even back in the 90s when you had McDonald's All-American and Dwayne Morton, and another Jason Osborne as well. I mean, the talent just doesn't seem like it's there like it used to be.
I think in those cases, D'Angelo Russell and Rajon Rondo, I'm not sure it had anything to do with Kentucky high school basketball, as it was an opportunity to go to a nationally renowned program and just and face better competition than they were getting on the high school level. So I think Richard probably can bring a different perspective to that. And I get in these arguments all the time with people, and I think it's a generation thing. I'm not sure that the talent level is all that less now than it was. I think maybe the biggest thing is there are more opportunities. And I think if you look over the last 25 years, the high level football players in this state that's just exploded.
Yeah.
I think more of your – and now maybe this is a reason – maybe this rule has something to do with it, but I think more of your high-level athletes in this state have gravitated toward football than they have toward basketball in the last 20 years. And I honestly don't know the explanation for that.
I would agree. I don't think that – I wouldn't say the talent is bad, honestly. I would say – The youth league coaching is bad, because you go to a middle school game, for instance. I went and watched my godson play a year before last, and it was nothing but pressing and playing zone, not a lot being taught. So I think it's just kids are being behind, honestly. And the biggest thing is, listen, we're a small state. We're not like Indiana. We're not like, you know, California. We're not like Florida. So once every 2 to 3 years, we're going to have a really good class, and then we're going to have some down years. Yeah. And it's no disrespect to our state. It's just our population. I mean, the two hardest cities to pluck kids away from for prep schools is Indianapolis and Atlanta, because of how good those leagues are. And look how many people live there. That's the prime example, you know? So the biggest thing is that I wouldn't say the talent is down. You're going to get, you know, a class every now and then. Like Quentin's class was really good with Eli Wright, Braxton Beverly. Eli Wright, Braxton both go to prep school, you know, and that was actually a really good class. You know, you looked at Quentin Snyder's class with Keelan Martin. I mean, that was a good class, but then you're going to have some down years. You know, the biggest thing is self-awareness in Kentucky. Kentucky is a great place to find a really good junior college kid or a Division II or Division III kid. There's no way around it. How many 16 kids are we producing per year? Not a lot of them. Our state's not very big. So I would disagree with that fact as far as the talent is down. I just think that it's just, you know, once every 2 to 3 years, you're going to have a good player. Now, this past year, I did the postgraduate program. We had 8 kids from Louisville. We had kids on our team, though, that has never played against the talent level that we played against on a daily basis, because it was postgraduate basketball. And then we had some kids that get some recognition from colleges that they would never get if they didn't do that year. We just signed a kid late because of all the stuff. Kalen Harkema signed with Coppin State, you know, played at Louisville Ballard, really didn't have a lot of recruitment coming out of high school, and, you know, necessarily did not really play much AAU, didn't play for a shoe program. So he didn't really get the exposure. And then we get him, and he's got a 28 ACT, and they're like, why is this kid playing postgraduate basketball? You know, so you get some situations like that, but I would have to disagree. I would just say the state is – we're a smaller state, you know. I mean, there's just no other way around it. You know, I mean, we're not as big as Atlanta and Indianapolis and Florida where, you know, we're not going to produce so many kids. I'll tell you this, the year I was in South Carolina, I was trying to recruit kids to the prep school I was at that year, but I missed out on so many kids because every kid that I would try to recruit would be like, well, he plays – he's a heck of a football player. We don't know what he's going to do, you know. So, you know, you kind of – it's not just Kentucky, it's, you know, South Carolina, but that's the wild, wild west down there. I mean, they would let their kids play football one weekend, and if they weren't playing, they'd let them play an AAU tournament. There was no repercussions. So, you know, but I would disagree. I would say the talent's not down. It's just, you know, it's just we're a smaller state.
Well, let me ask you this, because just not to leave that point there, because you just brought up that some of the kids weren't necessarily playing against some of the talent. Wouldn't that kind of speak to the talent being down?
Yes, and I ran through it my last year at Taylor County, and Jason can attest, I changed my whole schedule. I mean, we basically played a prep school schedule. You know, I had the guy, Donnie Wilkes from the City of Palms, trying to buy out my contract fee with the King of the Bluegrass so we could go play in the City of Palms, you know, and that's a great event. But, you know, me being loyal to Lloyd and the King of the Bluegrass and, you know, me growing up watching it, we wanted to play in it and be in it, you know. So, and then the year before coming up a game short, you know, we wanted to try to come back and win it. But, yes, you know, I would agree. But, you know, you got to look at it from this instance. So, when I was in the fifth region, I changed the complete schedule. There's certain schools that they were playing two times a year. Are we going to get better playing those teams two times a year? No. So, I put other teams from Louisville or Lexington or, for instance, we went to Indy and played Indianapolis Cathedral. You know, we played teams
so
from
you
Indiana.
Would attribute it more to scheduling than, I guess, necessarily the talent.
1,000%. It is okay. High school coaches worrying about their record. And
okay.
They don't want to admit it.
I can
it,
see that then.
But let's put it on a platform to get better. There has been schools from East Kentucky over the years that play in the King of Bluegrass or come play in big events to try to get better. Now, a lot of those schools are not going to do that, you know. But I think it all depends on the high school coach, you know, in scheduling.
I think a little bit about it, too, is – you know, when you look at Kentucky and high school basketball, there's such a history involved in that. And I think a lot of the maybe the older people involved in that don't want to see change. And like you said, you know, just changing your schedule. It probably been that way for forever at Taylor County, that's just the way you did stuff.
Yep.
And you hear that a lot. And I'm not saying that those reasons are bad or that they're ill-minded or anything, but I think there's still a lot of this is the way we've done it all these years. This is the way the tradition of Kentucky high school basketball is. And some of that stuff, quite frankly, just needs to go out the door. And, you know, I look at a coach the coach at Ashland, Jason Mays, I believe, and talking to him and, you know, him wanting to travel the state, stuff that, you know, the Ashland program just hasn't done in all those years. And, you know, it's going to take some new minds and some new, you know, people to kind of change some of these things.
I completely agree, you know, because he's got a great young team, and that's the way you get better. You've got to play against better talent, you know. No knock against the region that they're in, but for them to get to a certain point, he's got to play better talent. And that's, you know, that's what we did at Taylor County is, I mean, we played in the flying of the hoop. I mean, we played in everything. And we played – the first year I was at Taylor County, we took a game – in a lot short notice against Luke Kennard, and Lloyd did a thing one year. It was a King of Bluegrass showcase. I want to say Ballard played CPA after us, and it was a great crowd. And Coach Cal was there because he was recruiting Quentin at the time and Luke. And then, you know, we had some Louisville assistants there. But not too many coaches are going to take on playing Luke Kennard on short notice just to get their kids some exposure because, yes, we got beat, but we got better, and our kids got exposure. And that's just the difference. I mean, not a lot of high school coaches are going to do that.
I can agree with that. So, Jason, speaking to what you were saying there with it feels like a lot of it is just like Kentucky, this is just the way Kentucky's done it for so many years. And maybe that – so one thing that Richard and I have talked about in the past, and I've talked about with other people, is the shot clock in the state of Kentucky. Currently, there's 8 states, California, Massachusetts, New York, North Dakota, Rhode Island, South Dakota, and Washington, all require the use of a shot clock. Watching games in the state of Kentucky, you would take games like watching Richard at Taylor County, watching some of those Ballard teams. You've seen, like, teams that aren't necessarily as talented would go to a four corners type thing. Do you think that it would be smart for Kentucky to adopt a shot clock?
I see both sides of it. And before you make it a talent argument, look at what Mike Szabo does at Trinity every year. They get a 5-point lead in the fourth quarter. They go four corners too. They're going to make you foul them. And so it's not only the bad teams doing that. I mean, you know, Mike Szabo has made a living off that at Trinity and making you foul them and putting his good free throw shooting on the line. You know, every time I think about this issue, I see both sides of it, and it's harder for me to make a call. I think, you know, the cost is a huge issue that people don't think about. Getting someone to run that shot clock at a high school is a big thing that, you know, people have hard enough time as it is getting someone just to run the scoreboard. Well, now you got to find another person to do this job. So, but I think those are things that can be overcome. You know, if the KHSAA says we're going to do it, then you'll find a way to do it. I'm not 100% sure the game is going to get better. Maybe it will. I mean, you're still going to have a lot of average or below average players out there playing basketball. So what's a shot clock going to do to them? It's just going to make them take worse shots probably. Maybe for the high-end players it would help them, but I don't see the KHSAA making a rule just to benefit the high-end players. That's never been what they're about.
I would disagree on the cost because, you know, I've talked to multiple people, for instance, and the clocks are expensive to put in, but it just depends on what you want. If you want this big, fancy, you know, shot clock, you know, because we play with a shot clock. And, you know, you can get a portable one, you know, for pretty cheap to put, you know, we usually put it below the basket right in front so they can see, you know, and nobody's allowed on the baseline. And I agree with you on far as smaller schools finding somebody to run it, but it's not very hard. It's a start, stop, reset, you know. And my thing is with the cost, you know, I'm pretty sure Julian knows some companies that would love to put their logo next to every shot clock in the state of Kentucky and put it in every high school gym and say, look, we're going to put your logo on every high school shot clock. You just got to pay for it. And I think there's probably about 10 companies in the state of Kentucky that could afford it and would want to do it. Now, on the far as making them better, I would say it definitely does. And here's what I mean by that. You're talking about time and possession, and I'm going to go a little bit of basketball for you. It is night and day difference when you're playing with a shot clock. And it doesn't benefit teams that don't run a lot or that play fast just because it makes them think more. So, for instance, we played a way more talented team this past year and completely took them out of what they wanted to do because of the shot clock. Now, if we had a shot clock, they could have pulled it right back out, ran what they wanted to do, kind of like what, you know, Mike does, which he's very good at, you know, and then go to the free throw line. Where there, you couldn't do it. We completely took them out of what they wanted to do, and now you're getting late in the shot clock, and they got to take a bad shot. So, with the argument saying it would benefit teams that necessarily that take quick shots, I don't think it does. It makes them think more. On that aspect of it. And it would be good for basketball just simply because we had Louisville kids, Kentucky kids on my team, for instance, that's never played with a shot clock. Now they're playing with it and they're starting to learn time and possession. And, you know, we had a call for when it got late in the shot clock to set a ball screen or get a shot off, we would yell Mayday, you know, and they're learning that. And now they're going to college to play. And so when they do play the shot clock, they're not going to be in panic mode like they've never seen it before, you know. So I could see where the cost could come into play and, you know, for smaller schools. But, you know, I think the KHSA is smart enough to where, you know, there's plenty of companies that would love to put their logo next to it if they put it in every gym. There's no rule against that. You know, people are putting logos on courts now, on the back of their shirts, wherever it may be, to sponsor fields and buildings. What would be the difference in, you know, a shot clock? And I think it would be good for basketball. I really do. You know, even if you make it 40 seconds, you take out the time where, okay, when I was at Taylor County, we played Paul Dunbar. We were the only team from Kentucky, I believe, to beat Dunbar that year, or the last team to beat them. They held the ball for 3 minutes, almost 3 minutes, when we played them at our place before the half because they didn't want us to get the ball back. You know, so you know, and I love Chalk to Death. He's a great coach, but it's like, come on, man. Like, you're going to hold the – you got – I mean, that team I had in Dunbar, nobody wants to see somebody hold the ball for 3 minutes. You want to see them up and down and play. And it, don't be wrong, it ended up coming down the wire, and they missed a shot at the buzzer. We ended up beating them. But at the same time, I go to Brandon. Should be able to go to four corners. You know, yeah. No time in possession and know how to run clock and then get into a certain set and try to get something out of it. And that's what makes – and I feel like this is another thing that kids are behind, you know, because when they do get to college, I mean, even if it's Division III, I have friends that, you know, that are at center, and then, like, you know, we get kids, and it's like pulling teeth. You know, they're trying to – they're teaching time in possession. And it's like, you know, if they did – if it's 40 seconds, it's 40 seconds, you know. So, I think it would actually be good.
So, let's actually stop. If there was a change and there was a shot clock put in, what do you think would be the perfect number for high school?
40 seconds. I think that's fine, you know, because it gives it time for you to hold the ball if you want to or and get a last shot, you know. But, you know, we played with 35 seconds, but I think 40 seconds would be fair, you know, and then it's easier for, you know, people that's working it to kind of, you know, I mean, let me be real honest with you. I mean, every team that we played against that did it, most of them were kids running it, you know. So, and most of your kids are running clocks anyways during high school games. You know, there's very few older people that are doing it, you know. So I wouldn't necessarily say do it in JV and freshman because that would be kind of difficult to, you know, get workers and get that going. But as far as varsity, 1,000% it needs to be a shot clock.
So what things, I guess, because you just spoke about just now with, you know, you have the St. Louis Cardinals going to a casino, you have the Marlins going on doing things. What would you say, in your all's opinion, is going to have to happen to ensure that it's – or is what do you think will ensure that a season will happen? Like, is there a certain amount of are they going to do like how Louisville has done where they've brought all the players back and then they do testing every couple of weeks? Or what would you guys think is going to be – what do you think is going to have to happen for them to be able to have a season, I guess you should say?
Well, I think it's important for people to know that it's not going to be the Cates DeVoe's decision. This is going to come from above them. It's going to come from the governor's office, the health department, and things like that. And even then, I think, you know, if you're looking immediately ahead as far as football goes, the Cates DeVoe could have one plan, but local people, you know, JCPS may well have another plan. We're going to find out here in a couple of weeks. So, I think for it to happen, the numbers are going to have to go down. You know, they talk about the plateaus and all that. I just find it hard to make – for anybody to be able to make a plan right now and say this is what's going to happen, because I think I've said this a million times since April – since March. What's the world going to look like in 2 weeks? We don't know. We have no idea. And so I think that's, you know, whenever I read these plans about college football coming out with schedules and stuff like that, I just shake my head because we don't know what the world's going to look like in September. I hope we can play. I'm looking forward to football season. I'm looking forward to basketball season. But I think people get impatient. They want to know, you know, what day they're going to be able to do stuff. And we're just in a time right now where it's impossible, I think, to predict that kind of stuff. Now, you can make the argument, just rip off the Band-Aid and we're going to go. And maybe that's a viable solution. And then if all hell breaks loose, you have to cancel again. And maybe that's what's going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah, it is kind of funny because I tell people whenever they release these schedules and stuff, like, oh, what do you think of the schedule? I'm not getting my hopes up.
No.
I mean, with the tournament being canceled, with the ACC tournament being canceled, I'm not getting my hopes up again. I was so depressed when they canceled those things. Yeah, it sucks so bad.
I think everybody will. I mean, I agree with Jason. I mean, you don't have the funding to test everybody. You know, I mean, if you look at some schools, you know, you look at some of these schools in Jefferson County, I mean, they already have trouble enough getting kids cleats and pads and helmets and whatever it may be. So now you're going to get tests. And here's the thing, you're not getting these more expensive tests that they're getting back in 30 minutes or 24 hours. You're going to get the test, they're going to get back in 2 weeks because you're going to send it off and whatever it may be, you know. So they don't have the luxury of, you know, like the NBA, you know, that blows my mind away. I'm like, the reason why it's working is they have the funding to test people with the correct test every day, you know. So, and the same thing with UFC, I'm a big UFC fan. Same thing with those fighters. He's testing those fighters every day. You know, so, you know, it comes down to funding. And like Jay said, you just don't know where you're going to be at. You know, AAU, they're playing right now. which is crazy. You know, they're playing in almost, you know, every state that where, you know, gyms have not been kind of banned and you can't do it, you know, but it's just a sticky situation because, you know, for us being prep too, we're going through it. We, you know, we really don't have any rules, but at the same time, you know, it's like, it's just a sticky situation because we have kids in the dorms. If a kid brings it back, we're in deep water, you know? So, I mean, it's, you just don't know. There's just so much uncertainty right now.
And I think the other thing is cost. I mean, there are some of these schools that can afford it, but what about these schools? Okay, we're going to play a game. We're going to pay officials. We're going to pay scorekeepers, but we're not going to be allowed to have fans in to sell tickets.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of these schools were losing money as it was having a basketball game where they can only get maybe 150 people in the gym. If you're telling them you can't get any, and who knows, we don't know what the rules are going to be, but if you're telling them you can't have any fans, then those are, you know, those are situations that some athletic departments can't afford.
Trust me, I know about that. Going to Portland Christian, having maybe 150 people in the stands.
Yeah.
I mean, you lose out on concessions, you lose out on the gate. You know, I mean, that's a lot of money for some of these schools in Jefferson County that, you know, that's how they raise money, you know.
Especially in football. I mean,
absolutely.
If you lose out on the football season, you're not going to be able to perhaps pay for winter and spring sports.
Absolutely. So, I guess this is my last question here. You got a gun to your head. Do you foresee a high school season happening for football and basketball or either one?
I'll let you go first.
And again, this doesn't have to be like it can be from something that maybe you've heard, or if this is just your
gut feeling. This has nothing to do with what anybody has told me, or this is just reading the tea leaves, if you will.
I
don't think there's going to be a high school football season, and I think basketball. The thing about basketball, and if you listen to Julian Tackett, the thing about basketball is the experts are saying indoor sports are perhaps a lot more dangerous than outdoor sports because you're in a combined space and, you know, breathing on each other and ventilation and all that stuff I don't really understand. But when I think about basketball, that's the thing that most concerns me is, you know, if they can't even do it in football where you're out in a wide open space in the outdoors, how can they conceivably play basketball? But, you know, hopefully by December, like I keep saying, who knows what the world's going to look like by then. Maybe we'll have a vaccine by December.
Let's hope.
Let's pray. Yeah.
You'll have a vaccine in November.
November, no, okay.
I agree with Jason. I just don't think, you know, there's just so much uncertainty. And then, you know, my biggest thing is if you want sports to happen, wear a mask. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, you know. Yeah. If you want your son to have the opportunity, wear a mask. So you're trying to tell me the biggest thing in the world right now is you're going to take pride in not wearing a mask and spreading it, even though you might not show any symptoms, but you want sports to happen. You see, like, it doesn't make sense, you know, but I agree. I don't think it'll happen. I mean, I told my wife the other day, I don't think our prep season will happen until November, December, but like you said, nobody knows because you're in a confined space and, you know, I mean, it's just easier to spread, you know, and then when it gets cooler and then when you get into the flu season, what's going to happen? Are the numbers going to skyrocket again? You know, so, I mean, it's just a sticky situation and I hate it for our seniors. The state of Kentucky needs to be like California. Move everything to the spring. I know it sucks for dual sport athletes, but guess what? You're still giving every single senior an opportunity to play their sport and maybe go to college. Move it all to the spring and be done with it. You know, and then if something maybe is there a drastic change in between then you make adjustments. But why not just move it all to the spring and then you're giving everybody opportunity and guess what? There's definitely going to be a vaccine by then and you'll have a plan in the place and then you can go. You know?
Let me ask you this because then you move everything to the spring. This is going to pertain strictly to you, Richard. If you move everything to the spring in a prep school, you essentially lose all of those players because if I'm a player, I'm not going to play now. Because now this is when I'm going to that other college. That would be the only worry that I would have is if you're speaking strictly just towards the high school season, I could see what you're saying. But and even if some of those higher level D1 athletes, they're not going to play. they're going to sit out if they're a senior already. They're not going to play.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. But I'm looking at if I got a son or a daughter who's a senior in Kentucky playing a sport, and if KHSA says, you know what, we're going to move everything to the spring, that way we're giving everybody opportunity. You know, we'll figure out the dual sport stuff later. You know, if it's agreed upon on the high school coaches that they can play both, because me and you both know you've got a dual sport athlete. Now, football and basketball would be tough, but if it's baseball, basketball, or baseball, football, you can kind of finagle in that, you know. But I think California hit it on the head, and Texas did. I mean, didn't they move football to the spring? You know, so, I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, guys, I appreciate you all joining me. I know it's a weird timing and everything. Jason, I'd love to have you on again in the future if you're willing to do it. Maybe something comes up with this and we can hop on here and do this again, because this is my first time ever doing like a moderator type thing. And I was glad it wasn't like the presidential debate where I had to calm somebody down for sure.
No, me and Jason like each other, man. He's been good to me for years.
You don't have to worry about us throwing stuff at each other.
It's a good thing it's a Zoom thing, I guess you could say. But Jason, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Anytime.
Yeah, I'll hit you up in the future. I'll tag you in this on Twitter and everything if you want to give it a check out. Richard, always a pleasure to talk to you, man. But yeah, that's really all I got for you guys. I'm glad you guys took time out and we could get this discussion. Maybe we can send it to the KHSA and see if maybe our minds have thought about this more than they did.
Enjoyed it, my man. And then look, right. Y'all want sports to happen, wear a mask. That's right.
All right, guys. I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, guys.
See ya.